Good morning. It's 28th April. Our New Testament reading today is Acts 5 and 6. I'm going to read to you from Brother Harry Whittaker's book, Studies in the Acts of the Apostles. This section deals with the appointment of trusted brethren to oversee the distribution of welfare and speaks particularly of Stephen. I read. The men appointed must be of good report, that is, not only faithful and dependable brethren, but by common consent recognised as such. Men full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, that is, their special charismatic gift was a capacity for the wise handling of the affairs of the assembly, and particularly for the administration of ecclesial benevolence. Stephen was outstanding. Like Barnabas, he is described as full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Twice this is said of him. Then may it be inferred that, by a special endowment of faith, he had been led, like Barnabas, to sell all that he had and give to the poor, in order the better to serve and witness for Christ. If so, and this seems fairly likely, he was most suitably qualified to be concerned in welfare work of the kind now being undertaken. Both Stephen and Philip were also quite outstanding preachers of the gospel. So evidently they were men of such burning zeal that they felt impelled to add copious other activities to this important responsibility now taken on. Although the seven were selected by the ecclesia as a whole, it was still necessary to have apostolic approval. Presumably, the 12 had a power of veto, though there is no evidence in the New Testament of such an exercise of authority. The apostles now laid hands on the seven, it may be supposed, to impart to each a further gift of the Holy Spirit power, in addition to gifts already possessed. The gift of helps. Thus another problem was resolved, and the main work of the gospel continued unhindered. The word of God increased. This could mean that the Holy Scriptures were reinforced by inspired utterance and exposition, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. This development marked the climax of Christian popularity in Jerusalem. The insistence by the apostles that their main work suffer no interruption was thus fully vindicated. It is noteworthy that today welfare tends to usurp the priority which preaching and Bible study had in apostolic days. Most noteworthy of all in the gospel's progress was the beginning of a steady accession of priests as converts to the faith. Apart from the power of the message itself, there were certain other considerations which had made a great impact on the priestly class. First, there was the impressive example of Joseph Barnabas, the Levite, a former member of the Sanhedrin and a man of considerable wealth and social standing. But even more, the speech of the venerable Gamaliel before the Sanhedrin had flashed a green light which they now interpreted as meaning that priests could follow their convictions regarding Jesus of Nazareth without being called on to face persecution and without any risk of being banned from their cherished duties in the temple. Indeed, the way in which the believers continued to frequent the temple more assiduously than any others proclaimed clearly that there was no perceptible dissonance between temple and gospel. So a steady stream of priests began to present themselves for baptism. In the time of Moses, the appeal, "Who is on the Lord's side?" That's Exodus 32, had brought the tribe of Levi loyally to the side of truth. And now again, the same cry and the same response. May it be that that same plea and expression, if applied now, would elicit the same response from each and every one of us. Who is on the Lord's side? Thank you for listening.